I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi.
Hi.
You know what? Merry Christmas Eve to all those who celebrate.
Merry Christmas, actually, because this comes out on Christmas. So,
I'm Carrie.
I'm Larry.
And you're listening to
Sexy, Unique
Podcast. Salty Utah Queens.
Salty Utah Queens.
I was like. It's very appropriate that we're doing a Mormon gaggle of ladies.
On this holiday, celebrated by the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Do they celebrate Christmas?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Oh, they do the...
As the Virgin Mary.
Right.
As my alter ego, the literal Virgin Mary of the Latter-day Saints Church.
I love that.
I can assure you that they do, in fact, celebrate Christmas. When I was watching that video, that was like the video, because I found this woman and then the video that she like acted in. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it and it was making me feel kind of warm and fuzzy. And I was like feeling in a place of Jesus Christ. And then I noticed something on the floor and a cockroach crawled across the floor. So
2 steps forward, 1 step back.
Yeah, it summoned the creatures.
Yeah.
Maybe I am just the queen of pests, and I just need to accept that.
You're the queen of plagues.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible plagues. All creatures,
great and small. I love them.
No, I don't think it's... I actually think it's you are... All creatures... what is it? All creatures...
All creatures, great and small.
Yeah, you're just like... It's not, doesn't discriminate. You're representing all sizes.
I love them all.
So it's actually a good thing. Like cockroaches feel safe with you.
They did. It came to me.
They said, thank you for seeing me.
I said, I see you. I honor you. And now I will cover you with raid.
And now you must die.
And now you must die
for my sins. I still can't believe your doppelganger.
I can't believe her. That picture in particular is like they caught her in like a angle and a facial expression that really is representative of me. Because in the video, it looks a little bit less like me.
No, it's a very you face.
Yeah, but I'm still shook.
It's the eyes. Mm-hmm. You both have like kind of green eyes.
Yeah.
It's like...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I miss?
What?
My college was in central Pennsylvania, and around Christmas, like driving around, there were these billboards for like mega church Christian theater, and they always had like the miracle of Christmas like production running through the new year, and you just knew they were pulling out like VFX, like real high budget shit, and I always kind of wanted to go to one.
It's fun. Like, I mean, the Christmas programming. My church kind of started off somewhat small, the church that I grew up going to, but then has slowly but surely, it's like becoming a mega church vibe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they installed big, huge screens that they like project music onto. I just think that that's so like aesthetically, like I want my churches to feel really old. You know what I mean? So any sort of screen or technology, I really dislike that in a place of worship.
My church was pretty like old looking, and
because it's Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do churches well.
Yeah,
you got to give it up to the Catholics. They know how to.
There's an element of fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's gorgeous.
There's always an element of fear in a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have a smell, a certain smell. It's like kind of dusty and
dusty and marbly,
incensey.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Christmas Eve Mass so much in my hometown because you see everyone. It's sort of like everyone kind of goes. Everyone kind of goes just to look around and kind of see where is that person? Oh, there they are with their family. You know what I mean? And like, kind of like a seeing like someone from your homeroom in middle school, like some girl that you were friend, and seeing her and just kind of going like, hey, you know, like during one of the hymns or just looking around, kind of like waving a little. It's so weird and cool. And there's also like drama. There's like recently divorced couples there, or like one of the moms there with her kids, and she just like left the husband and she's looking fearsome and like pulling out all the stops because she's bringing up the gifts, and she's wearing a black number, like a little black, kind of like a black dress with black tights, and she's just, her hair's all down and she's going up to be seen, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just great.
It's her debut.
It's her
as a sexy single lady.
Yeah. And like going, and then like my sister and I would always start laughing and like it'd be uncontrollable, and my mom would kind of look over at us and be like, stop it. You know what I mean? I just loved it.
Yeah, it's festive and fun. Did you do midnight mass, or would you go like earlier?
We would always try to do like 4 or 5 p.m. just to get it over with.
That feels like a good time. Like the midnight mass thing, I'm like, okay, cool, but
it's intense.
Who has who can stay up that late?
I don't think I ever went to midnight mass.
I've gone to a couple midnight masses. Yeah, I like the music. I like the acoustics of kind of a Catholic or Episcopalian church. Mm-hmm.
The candlelight.
The church I grew up with, the Baptist church, they would do like a candlelight, like you sing Silent Night and then everyone has a candle and you like all light little handheld candles and then you would like walk out, and that was pretty.
That's really pretty. And then you burn yourselves.
Yeah, or like drip wax on your sibling, or act like you're going to drip wax on them.
Going with siblings is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you.
I don't love the like. Yeah, I don't love the communion element. Like, that always was like, okay, let's move it along. Like,
communion's tough, but I would always look at my parents and go, we're leaving after communion. That's a great time to sneak out.
Go up and then you're just out of there.
And as long as you get communion, technically, like, you did what you had to do. Because, mm-hmm. Matt, you don't really complete mass until you accept the body of Christ.
Okay, I
But my mom would always end up kind of like,
you gotta stay.
The best.
You made it this far. You might as well stay. And at least in Catholic Episcopalian, you get wine.
Yeah, I never did that because I was always like, I don't want to drink wine from like
that a cup that
chalice.
Yeah, how are they doing? They can't really with COVID.
No,
drink like they used to.
I recently joined a parish in Hollywood because I had to be my niece's godfather. So I'm like curious about maybe attending some outdoor mass or Zoom mass in the new year.
Oh, that could be cute.
Right? I kind of like have a burn to go.
You might as well. I'm feeling like the spiritual pull of Christianity lately.
Really?
I mean, just being like,
you know what?
It's a cute moment. It's a nice, cozy tradition. Yeah.
I don't like the doctrines, but I like, there's something about the traditions around this time that make me like nostalgic. And I was thinking about my favorite Christmas Eve memory. It was a few years ago, and it was me and my family, my sister, my brother-in-law. I think they were still dating then. And we went to our church, and it was like sold out. Like, you could not get a seat, standing room only. And they were like, you have to go to the gymnasium across the street at the school across the street. And we were like, okay. So we went over, and it was like standing room only in the gymnasium, and they had a giant screen. It was like hundreds of people. We were smushed in the back. It was hot out that year on Christmas. It was like 70 degrees, so we were all like sweating.
Hell.
I think I was drunk because I'd been drinking all day. And then my mom was like, let's go try one more time. So we went back across the street, and they were like, they had like bouncers outside, basically these men in like suits being like, no, I'm sorry, there's no room. And my mom went, Mary was denied at the end too, and then she stormed off.
She's not having it. No. Yeah, you got to get out of there. That is a bad vibe.
Well, Mary was denied at the inn as well. Like, she was like, I just love that. That was such a quote.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just
Yeah, you can't do a gym. I'm like, a gym?
Yeah.
I'm in it for like...
I'm in it for the church, baby. I'm in it for the pew. I'm in it for the smells.
Church. Yeah, I want to like kneel down. I want to stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. I want to sing... Commune.
I want to kneel on my ass. I always like would put my heels up to my ass so I didn't actually...
You weren't touching the actual like thing?
No, I just was
like... You have your own thing going on in there. Yeah. I like it.
Or like stick my butt on the pew and put my legs on the thing. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't actually kneeling.
Yeah, we would... Now I'm just having memories of like chapel and like... I liked it. Which didn't feel like overly like Christian or anything. I think Episcopalians do a pretty good job of that. Like keeping it a little like midway through. They're not total Catholic. They're not total like.
Episcopalians are cool and they let women be priests.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also loved going to church with friends, families.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I feature a friend's family gathering. Like I was in Palm Beach a couple Christmases ago, and then I went to like the mass at like some little tiny chapel in like Palm Beach, which was a chic moment.
That's really chic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also I was like an altar server for a hot minute, and then I flaked completely and didn't go to any masses. And I like forgot I was an altar server, and like 6 months later someone called me and was like, hey, can you cover for me? And I was like, excuse me? And she was like, for serving. And I was like, oh honey, I don't do that anymore. Honey,
you take a long drag of your cigarette. Yeah. Honey,
I don't do that anymore.
It's a no from me. Wait, can we talk about a true Christmas miracle?
Yeah.
Which is that HBO Max is eyeing a potential revisit to the one and only Sex and the City.
But without Samantha Jones.
I know. So they better kill her ass off, because I don't want any world where like, they don't need to leave it open. Like if she's not going to be in it,
She needs to be like living in another country and unreachable, or
just be dead. Just be dead. The cancer came back and she or raptured. Yeah, I liked that idea. That was a great pitch.
I don't know if I want to live in a Sex and the City universe where Samantha's not there though. Because she really is such a big part of that show.
Maybe one of the only reasons to engage, like, and she truly is she's the person that makes me laugh the most rewatching.
Same. And she's also an incredible friend.
She's great. I feel like my hunch is that they're saying this revisit or announcing, because it's not like formally announced, like, no. I don't, but to entice her to come back, because she does TV and she only explicitly said, like, I will never do another film, but maybe she would do the TV. I'm rooting for a 2021 miracle of Kim signing on to do a Sex and the City revisit with all four of the girls. We need them. She owes it to herself. She owes it to the fans.
How great would that be if she just, like, fucking... She and Sarah just buried their shit and just like sat at that coffee shop table together. I mean, that would be
truly, if they can do that, then peace is possible. World peace is possible.
But we also have like Kim and or Kristen and Cynthia are also there to buffer. Like, they can do this.
They can make it work.
They can. And I think Sarah Jessica, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. I don't know what the deal was on set. But, like, I think she would... I think she's ready. Like, she's like, hey, I'm open to, like, forgive for apologizing or, like, I'm ready. It's really in Kim's court. And she has to just, like... This has been a really fucked up year. And she would help women and gay men all over the world if she did this.
We've all been through so much just collectively that the right thing to do is to put your ego aside. It's not a movie. It's just a revisit. It's probably like 6 to 8 episodes. Like, how much can they really do? Like, they need to keep
short and sweet.
I want to keep this short and sweet.
And how much keep this short and sweet.
Money would they make?
Yes.
Holy shit,
and
Kim.
Kim has her own Fox show. She has her own Fox show. I haven't watched it. I'll never watch it.
It's not
love that for her though. Okay, well,
it's canceled. I mean, I'm sorry.
Just do the revisit. It's fine.
Just come back.
Just come back. It's okay.
And how much? I'm sorry, but like,
put your hard feelings aside. And like, this is a beloved character. Like. We love this, and you guys can figure it out.
And she would be even more famous than she already is. Like, it would just catapult her back, and she could do whatever else she wanted to do.
And if, like, they give her a really well-served storyline that's not her, like, fucking trying to hit on Brady, like, let's just leave that idea behind and, like, come back to the table. Like, I would hope
idea?
That... Yes, that was like part of the script was like sexting Brady. And I understand being like, I don't want to do that. But like, wouldn't they get a writer's room back together and like kind of have everyone reunited to like really throw good ideas at the wall and like figure it the fuck out? If not, they need to kill her. They need to have the cancer come back and Kim is dead and it opens in Samantha's funeral. And have like the Studio 54 of funerals and then just end it and move on because don't leave the door open.
Yeah.
I'm all or nothing. There's no gray fucking area.
I trust Michael Patrick King and Darren Star can do no wrong in my book. So I mm-hmm. trust that they can conjure something. And I really look. It's probably like a weird thing to like be only known really. To be best known for, like, one character as an actor is probably, like, kind of almost a catch-22 in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, if you're known for one character, have it fucking be Samantha Jones. And also, one of the most, like, beloved characters in modern television. And, like, that's good enough. Like, if you're known even for one thing, like, that's... To be her... above all else is like
that's so true
thing. Like if
at least you're not like the actress that played the homeless woman in Home Alone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, that's a pigeon lady, and like it's like
no,
that's
known,
what
you're known as like
forever,
glamorous, gorgeous, like
self-made sexy woman
who fucks and like is rich and is funny. Like, what? How,
what is wrong with that? There's literally nothing.
But you know,
she's known for Mannequin,
and she's
another
Mannequin,
iconic thing, and her jazz videos. We were singing its praises
and Porky's
and Porky's.
But listen, I have something like I'm not an actor, but like it's hard enough to be an actor. But like all you just need that one role to be remembered for, and. To be a role that like stands the test of time, and to be known for that is like that's an accomplishment. Some actors are never known for anything.
Yeah, and some actors are wishing that they could be in your shoes.
And I, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker she's fully accepted that she's really only going to ever be known as Carrie Bradshaw, which is like
lean into
she's
it.
She's leaned the fuck in.
Yeah,
Cynthia,
going to the shoe
all
store.
In.
Yeah,
Charlotte's. Kristen Davis has leaned in. God, she's doing Hallmark movies now, but she's got a fat...
That movie about her going to Africa, that's on my Christmas watch list this year, because I heard it was really good. She, like, gets divorced and then goes on, like, safari and meets a hot guy, and it's, like, her
Kristen
Christmas
does
miracle.
A lot of, she's like a true philanthropist. Like, she does.
Yeah, and she's a huge fan of elephants, which I think was part of why she did this movie, is because it like filmed on an elephant preserve.
I'm into her. She's just doing good things, and she's worth like 100 mil. So like, good for her. But
chic.
Like, they are all Cynthia Nixon. Yeah, she might be the governor of New York one day, but she's always going to be known as Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've accepted that. Why can't you, Kim? I'm sorry.
Give the people what they want.
Give us what we want. I love you, but like, you gotta be real. Like, this is the best role you're ever going to have. Just fucking do it. I would
give us joy this season. Make friends again.
I would
close the gap.
I'm actually getting like emotional. Like, same. I would burst into tears if she signed on.
Yeah, I would like throw up out of excitement. I'm feeling like I'm going out of body right now, just like imagining it.
And if they have to green screen her in like Dolly Parton did in her Christmas movie, so she's just not physically around Sarah Jessica Parker. I trust.
Hologram her.
Hologram Sam. Truly the greatest thing I'll ever think of in my
that's
life.
For the people that are not in the know, that's the call, a callback to Carrie's and my Real Heads Know. I have a secret podcast called Saving Sex in the City 3, and Carrie did an episode, and it truly is one of the funniest fucking things I've ever been through. And you guys need to listen to it. Saving Sex in the City 3 on iTunes, Spotify, etc.
I'm going out.
You're toast.
Darling, you're toast.
I hope they get their shit together and figure it out, because honestly, after this shit year, the only thing there is to look forward to is Sex in the City content. And it should not be another movie. We all know that. And it needs to be a revisit.
It needs to be
not
a
reboot, a revisit, as SJP said. I'm team friendship. I'm team communication. I'm team equity. I'm team...
Give
four
them all,
ladies.
Give them all EPs.
Yeah. Give them all the same paycheck.
Same paycheck. Balance, balance, balance. Give Samantha
a beautifully fleshed out storyline that lets Kim flex her acting chops. We know that she can do it. Give all the ladies can have an amazing storyline. I'm so excited. Like, let's make it work, ladies.
What if
I know that there's trouble, but it can happen. This isn't fucking Israel and Palestine. This is fucking Sex in the City.
What if Samantha's plotline is that she did perish in the TWA plane crash that Kim Cattrall was meant to be on? Did you know that?
Which plane crash?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Lockerbie,
yeah. Oh, my God.
Lockerbie
yeah,
plane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Kim Cattrall, for all who don't know, she did this bizarre, like, my defining moment video where she her defining moment was not dying.
Well, that is a defining moment, honestly.
She talks about, because she's English, and she was, or part English, and she was in England with her mother in Liverpool, and she stopped, she was at Heathrow, intended to go back to New York, and she left the airport because she's like, oh, I forgot a teapot for my mom, I had to bring her a gift. So she went to Harrods to get a teapot, and so she missed her flight, and that plane was the Lockerbie plane that exploded over Scotland.
Fucking insane.
And so she's like, I was meant to be on that.
Did Tom Girardi, was he involved in that, trying to did he steal some money from those people?
Probably. Also, can we just give a shout out to Tracy Morrissey for doing the fucking work for going,
yeah, what has she done now? But
she's what has she done now?
What has she done now?
No, she did a deep investigative dive into Erica Girardi's like receipts and how they were like actually from a flip phone in 2005, and she just like went in and kind of basically was like calling Erica out for like
incredible.
Yeah, just like
the Sherlock Holmes of our generation is Tracy Morrissey.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Erica is sketchy. It's all so sketchy between them. That LA Times article, that was explosive. I hope this has to play out this season of Real Housewives. They're filming now.
Yeah. I mean, this has to be...
This is front and center, bitch.
It'll be like... It'll freeze frame, and then it'll fade to black, and then it'll say, like, 24 hours later.
It's incredible, too, because you know that this is, like, the number one thing that Erika Jayne never wanted to happen, and she just, like, played it so close to the vest all, like, throughout her entire tenure on Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's like, you kind of know her, but you have no idea. And then we've literally sat through her doing kind of go girl, give us nothing so that it would lead up to this explosive moment. The payoff.
I've never connected with her. I screamed when she came out at Watch What Happens Live LA.
Yeah, it was huge.
I screamed. I was like, whoa, this is big. But that's really the only time I've ever been excited by her. I've always found her to be weird and like... guarded and for no reason, and then heard her whole thing of being like, yes hunty, this is why we give it, yes bitch.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, stop.
I'm a fan of like the fierceness and the looks, and
it doesn't feel natural,
but I was like, okay, when it comes down to like being iconic in conversation with the other ladies, you really are lackluster.
Yeah.
You don't stick your neck out.
No. She never, she's never like gone. She's always kept a wall up, which like, look, I understand if you're, but like you're on a reality show. She's never gotten silly.
No.
She's never gotten like, you know, Kyle gets like wasted sometimes and like has fun.
Kyle, lover or hater, she
gives
is,
it all.
She comes and she plays ball. Yeah.
I'm excited for Kathy.
That is really what we need.
Kyle, call me back.
Kyle, Kathy, Kim.
I'm in Malibu.
I'm in Malibu. I have a meeting, an important meeting I want to tell you about.
Call me back. Mary should answer the phone if I'm not there, but call me back. I want to lunch him. We have to call Darren Star. I have a friend that has a good connect to him. I think we should do it in person. I've got
Kyle and Kathy call Darren and convince Kim and SJP to do the Sex and the City revisit, and somehow they broker peace talks between the two ladies.
They're gonna have like a meeting. It's gonna be like kind of Breaking Bad. Like they'll do like a meeting on the border of like Canada and where Kim's from, and
yeah, Kim and like stands that. On one side, she stands in Canada, and SJP stands in Buffalo.
There's a town that I think
they do
town,
it in Niagara Falls.
They do it at Niagara Falls.
They actually do it at Niagara Falls, and they stand like across the falls from each other.
Yeah, or there's this town in Michigan that's like, it's like, I think it's like an island
Mackinac
Michigan.
Island.
Yeah, but it's like Canada, but it's like in America. So that's where they're going to meet. They're going to meet and they're going to meet at a booth at a diner and just talk. And Kim's like, I have a sniper.
Kim has come with security. She's Danielle Staubing it with like many security.
No, Kim has like a gunman pointed at Sarah. So it's like
there's a laser right on SJP's forehead. And Kim's like, take out your compact. I want you to see something. And SJP opens up her powder and sees the laser pointed. And Kim's like, that's for if you try anything funny.
Yeah. No funny business here. So,
And then SJP is like, oh, really? And then someone comes up and like puts a knife to Kim's neck.
And then she's like, funny. I thought the same thing. And then Kim looks up and she has a laser at her forehead. And they both have like snipers from like alternate sides of the parking lot just waiting.
Ready to pull the trigger at a moment's notice. I believe that they can do this. I believe in them. I always have believed in them. That's why I wear my hat.
That's
why I do my podcast. That it's literally, I believe that they can do it.
This is why we do what we do, for Sarah Parker and Kim to reconnect.
Honestly, part of my reason for living is spreading the word that they can do what it takes to figure it the fuck out and give us more Sex in the City. I believe.
I believe. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will. Wait, really fast before we get into
Salty
Queens.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from my hometown won The Bachelorette.
Oh my God, I saw that.
Zach Clark.
That's crazy.
He's so hot.
The Bachelorette.
And he's sober. And he runs a recovery house.
Oh, that's cute. I love it. Mazel to all.
I remember his, he was older, but like I think he was like a popular heartthrob.
Oh my God.
And my mom,
it's all happening for him.
My mom subbed once as a teacher at the school, and he was like really nice to her and was like, "Can I get you anything, Mrs. O'Donnell?" And she was like, "No, that's okay."
That's so sweet. Congrats to the team. That's really congrats to the team.
Congrats to Haddonfield, New Jersey. Congrats to Tayshia and Zach. And congrats to hot straight men in recovery.
Mm-hmm. We did it. We did it, Joe.
Speaking of we did it, this episode was good.
This episode was good. It opens on Park City Fashion Week, which is really just a Park City fashion moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's Park City Fashion Hour. Yeah. It's
Park City Fashion 45.
Minutes. Even Park City Fashion Day is a little too generous.
Park City Fashion Morning.
Park City Fashion 30.
Yeah.
It's a quick 30
it's
in
a
and
quick
out.
30 in and out. But it's a show nonetheless. And Meredith is snapping her bracelets on all the models.
And Meredith explains.
Meredith Marks really gets repped a lot here.
Yeah. Utah is the number one hotspot that Meredith needs to be in to build her brand.
Wait, really fast. You see Rihanna DM'd Heather Gay and said, I'm obsessed with you.
Yeah, huge.
Huge.
Barriers coming down. When you texted me that screenshot, I truly thought that Rihanna had watched Rock of Love and was texting Heather from Rock of Love, being like, I'm obsessed with you. And I was like, this feels fucking right. Like, we're so on, like, we're on the fucking zeitgeist. We're like speaking in tongues. We are connected to our spirit, like, guides. And then it was just Real Housewives of SLC, which is also great. But I really wanted that for Heather.
Rihanna has watched Brooks.
Yeah. I wonder what she makes of Brooks.
Well, she's Meredith's client, so she's probably met him.
Yeah, true.
Brooks is like, I want to be there. Meredith, so she's really excited. She's like, this is a really big moment. Like, it's just showing that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And she goes, and I just really don't want to live in Ohio.
Fair. I can't fault you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree that no one wants to live in Ohio.
Sorry, Seth.
Sorry, guys. Was also like, why do you need to be in Utah? She's like, Sundance is where I need to be to build my brand. And I was like, okay, but like, you should probably just be in LA.
LA or New York.
Yeah. Like, this is not adding up. And I think we find out later why it's kind of not adding up. But like,
go to London town.
Yeah. Go to a city that's not Park City that pops off for 1 week a year. Okay.
All the ladies start filing in. There's like a big crowd outside, and you see Jen walk in with an insane coat and a dress that looks like the rugs in The Shining.
Mm-hmm. She's full shininged out with a big fan, and she takes her seat on the front row.
Heather looks really cute. She comes in. She's wearing like a snow crown.
Mm-hmm.
I was into her look.
Mary walks in. Queen Mary, and she says, I'm so excited that they finally brought fashion to Utah. Mary is just a lover of fashion.
She really is. She walks in just feeling, you can just see it. She's like, this is it. She's like, she feels right. She finally feels at home in Utah.
In her sparkly beret.
So Mary walks in, she's like, finally, this is my time. She walks in, she's feeling, and then she deflates a little because she has to sit next to Jen.
Yeah. And this, Mary's love of fashion makes me understand her as like this perma little girl, like seeing her bedroom and how she kind of lays all her stuff out. It's like she's always playing dress up, and like it just informs her kind of mental state further.
This is a chance for these women to leave the county lines and be in. Mm-hmm. This is their like.
This is their SJP and Kim moment.
Yeah, they're at Fashion Week, Bryant Park, Milan.
Milano.
No, they're Milano. Paris. They're like, they're in Paris, they're in London. You know, it's happening.
Mm-hmm. So Mary takes her seat next to Jen and tells Jen she looks pretty.
Jen says nothing and then puts sunglasses on. I was like, all right, Jen.
Okay, Jen, SJP. Okay, Mary is SJP and Jen is Kim.
Totally.
Mary is literally Carrie Bradshaw. Yeah, Heather's Miranda. And I think Lisa is kind of Miranda and Heather's kind of Charlotte.
Oh, you're right. They're interchangeable.
They are.
And then this woman named Kim comes out and she's the fashion show coordinator. She's wearing like basically like a snowball.
She's dressed like a couture snowflake from hell.
She gave me major Devorah vibes.
Yeah, and she could have used a little more confidence in her intro. She's like, welcome to Park City Fashion Week, and all right.
Yeah, she's like, really hope you guys like it. And then she just walks, you just hear her heels walk, and everyone's just kind of like.
It's like, okay, bitch, like, this is the first Fashion
Hype
Week.
Us up.
Like, give me a little energy. Drink a Red Bull and try again.
There's a lot of go girl, give us nothing.
Yeah, this was doing the bare minimum.
I hope you guys like it. Sorry.
Yeah.
She just walks off.
Gotta go. Meredith is gone full Babadook cosplay.
Well, first Whitney comes out. Whitney goes, I'm not a long... She goes, I am not a model by a long shit. She said to say shop, and she says it's shit. And then she comes out, and she has huge, huge knockers.
Yeah, I never realized until that Whitney's moment where they were front and center. Yeah.
She has the biggest titties, like, this side of the Rocky Mountains.
Colorado River, yeah.
She is wearing them. They are sitting. She is wearing them, wearing them, wearing them.
They are barely contained by a mesh dress, a mesh cutout.
Yeah.
And I was like, woo. I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yo.
She and her husband's there, and he's looking so, he's like,
he's loving it. Yeah. Filming her trot down the runway.
We also, in this episode, find out that she and her husband fuck 5 times a week.
Yeah. Congrats to them. Hats off.
Congrats to the team.
That's great for you guys.
But I liked Whitney in this episode, and I was proud of her in this moment because she was like, I'm doing it. And she just like got on stage and just did her little saunter, and she looked good, and like
Whitney's doing herself. Whitney, and I like that she keeps it sexy. She's mm-hmm. fun. She has her own interests. I'm extremely worried about her Botox brow lift that seems to be going, whatever brow lift she got prior to that one confessional look. I'm like, I hope that settles down somewhat because it's a little much for me.
Me too.
But I also believe, I'm trying to be more of a believer in plastic surgery autonomy, that people get what they want when it comes to their plastic surgery endeavors.
Right.
If that's how she wants to look and how she feels best, who am I to judge?
That's how she interprets her face.
Yeah. That's what she wanted to present to the world is a wild Brittany Cartwright eyebrows circa season 7 of VPR. Who am I to say that ain't right?
Meredith's eyebrows are so good.
Meredith's serving. She looks incredible in this look.
Meredith's a model.
Meredith, not many people could wear a full Babadook formal wear and come off looking like a queen. She takes her coat. She takes to the stage, removes her coat, and threw it on the ground, and then walked the runway.
in a top power hat.
In a top in a like, full top hat she in like an Erica Badu-esque yeah top
totally
hat.
She kind of looked like Rebecca Ferguson and Dr. Sleep the Rose the Hat or whatever.
Oh my god, yeah, I haven't watched that movie, but I understand the reference. The vampire, she's like a top hat vampire, which is a very specific type of vampire. I don't want to cross paths with a top hat vampire.
If you cross paths with a top hat vampire on a dark night, like, you say you're goodbye.
Done. Yeah, say a fucking prayer,
kiss,
bitch.
Kiss your life goodbye. But so she comes out, and like the whole crowd is like sort of, their like breath is taken away by Meredith.
Yeah, and they've never known such fashion as when Meredith Brooks took the stage at Park City 30.
That hairstylist who's backstage also is wearing a top hat.
Someone was getting a little top hat crazy at Park City Fashion Week, but Meredith carried it well.
She looks like a New Orleans vampire, and she walks out and. Like, there's, like, a hush over the audience, and everyone's just like, oh, my God. And, like, there's almost, like, a reverent applause for Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know who's genuinely so happy? Mary is so happy for everyone.
Mary, this is the moment that Mary's been praying for years. And, like, her prayers for fashion to hit the streets of Salt Lake City have been answered in this moment, and she's reveling in God's good graces.
Yeah,
and it's like confirming her in every life decision that she's ever made
totally
has been right because of Park City Fashion Week.
She's like so happy to be there, and she is like actually excited. Jen is silent through most of the I think Jen's bitter.
Yeah, I just wrote that like Meredith and Brooks are going to like they put a spell on the crowd.
They did,
because Brooks then like the lights go down after Meredith takes the stage, like her presence like preps the audience
for...
the lights go down and then a video is projected across the stage of Brooks like announcing his
on
sweatsuits
four screens
across it's... four screens screens. Beyonce style. Like, if you've ever been to a Beyonce concert, it was like the same thing when she leaves the stage to go change outfits and transition to like the next part of the show. That was like what Brooks was giving us, but
Brooks
with like
backstage.
A completely low energy gay sensibility. My name
excited.
Is Brooks Marks, and you're going to see some sweatsuits from my athleisure collection
on four different screens. Like, the Marks have like hijacked Utah Fashion Week, and
yeah, and I think they're now putting a spell on the crowd and like putting them into like a waking coma.
And backstage after Meredith is like so like, yeah, I did it. When she comes back, she's so casual about just slaying the stage, and Brooks looks over at her and he reaches his hands out and he goes, hello, and then he holds his hand and she goes, oh, you want me to hold your hand now? And they hold hands, and then she goes, mwah. And I was like, some power.
Yeah. I was nervous in that moment, specifically.
Oh, you want me to hold your hand?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. So Brooks sends his models. He leads his models down the stage, down the runway. Brooks, and
Brooks has a like Nazi twink comb over going on that is like so disturbing to me.
I can't tell. I keep going back and forth between like he's just young or he's gotten Botox and filler.
I think both.
Maybe a little bit of both, the best of both worlds.
So Brooks is leading a pack of like hot model guys in his tracksuits, and they are all the same. They're all
I thought we were going to see one. Brooks kind of, his one is a little bit different. It just has like more Brooks Marks ribbon logos on it.
So he's leading
Jen,
the pack. Jen
won't, she won't be taken for a fool.
I was kind of into that because just from knowing how much Brooks like threw her under the bus, I was like kind of happy to see her like make fun of him a little.
He deserves to be called out for that. And she goes, they're all the same.
She goes, I've been wearing mine for months. She goes, if he debuts another version of it, I'll wear it too.
Yeah. And it's also, that's not a collection. One suit does not a collection make.
I love that. And because I was like, he thought he was so like, been above her, like making fun of her and saying she was beneath their family, and then to see her drag, I just was happy about that. And
yeah, it was Mary, karma.
Brooks comes out, Mary goes, oh, she goes, oh my god, it's Brooks.
She's trying to be positive, but I don't think Mary would consider Brooks Marks tracksuits to be fashion.
No way.
Absolutely not. The arbiter of fashion has spoken, and she says no thank you to a Brooks Marks tracksuit.
They do a loop around all the different runways, and he, at one point, all the boys start, all the men start jogging behind Brooks, and he just walks. So they're all, he's like a, almost like a boot camp drill sergeant.
Brooks boot camp.
So they go backstage, and Brooks and Meredith get a call from Seth, and he's kind of, he kind of makes fun of Brooks.
Yeah, he's like, you guys look interesting.
And Brooks is like, wow, Dad didn't even say, like, congrats on your first fashion show debut. And
I wish I could have been there. I love you so much. Anyways, I felt bad for Seth in this moment. Like, I feel like he's being teed up to fail in a lot of ways.
And Meredith is just going, oh, like, shaking her head to the side. And at one point, Seth just goes, he goes, I'm getting a lot of anxiety from this conversation, so I think I might need to go. And I was like, wow, he's being like emotionally bulldozed.
Yeah, it felt a little weird, to be honest. And like, I want to be able to give Meredith the benefit of the doubt, but then she was saying, like, I feel bad because I told him I needed space, so that's why he's gone. And it just is like, feels as a viewer just watching this show like they're putting, like, that Brooks is being put in the middle in a lot of ways. Like, I just don't think, like, if you're going through a divorce, I don't think you, like, lean on your kid for support.
No, it's, they have, like, I think they're, it's almost, it's breaching boundaries, I think.
Yeah,
he's young, like, that's not anything. To this day, like, you know, my parents don't, like, I don't want to know my parents' business.
Yeah, I want it to be, like, conscious uncoupling, guys. I mean, I'm telling you.
But Seth, he seemed like, I don't know, it was, like, a very strange, weird, loaded conversation. And I think Meredith felt bad, but she also, I think, has a part in, like, I feel like she is setting Seth up to be the bad guy always. So
probably because she's the one that's cheating.
I know.
Like, it's true. It's calculated. It's savage.
And then Brooks can kind of, there's an element of, like, almost like, oh, you're, like, making fun of your gay son for being into fashion and, like, not relating to him. So there's, like, there's weird, loaded, like, stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think Seth is like that. I think Seth actually is, like, not one of those dads that's, like, homophobic and not supportive of his kid. I think he loves
Brooks.
Seems
just like a chill dude.
Yeah. It's weird.
He wants to be there, but he can't. And
he's
got to
be in Canton.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the next morning at the Marks house, and Brooks is, like, he's digging out and, like,
sucking the life out of a grapefruit. And Meredith, I love, Meredith goes, so what are you thinking? Where are you going to go from here? I love, where are you going to go from walking, showing your sweatpants on a runway in Park City?
He's like, I don't know. I might defer more at school, another year at school, not go back. And Meredith's like, you need to go back to school.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting, like, the fire alarm to start going off and Brooks to, like, rain in terror over the household.
Him eating a grapefruit, unwell.
Meredith will pay for telling him to go back to school.
He's like, don't sleep tonight, he just says, and then walks out of the room.
Okay mother,
have a safe trip to the store today.
Robert Jr. comes home to Mary's house of horrors, and they have an extremely awkward interaction where she's like, you left at 6 p.m. yesterday, now you're just getting back.
It's 2 p.m.
It's 2 p.m. Hmm?
She goes, like, Robert's waiting sheepishly outside the kitchen in the corner, and she goes, Robert, enter. Come closer. And he's like,
so,
hi.
Just getting back. 2 p.m. the next day. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't come back because the roads. And she's like, oh, you couldn't text me because of the roads. The roads. Hmm. Okay.
And she goes, come on, we're closer than that.
And he's like, don't disrespect me like that. There's no need. There's no need to disrespect me like that. And it's awkward. And then he's like standing there and she goes, oh, I'm happy to see you though. And like hugs him. And then she goes, bye. I was truly, she throws you curveball after curveball. You never know what to expect. He's shell-shocked.
He's like planning his escape.
Does he even live there, really? I was just confused. I was like,
does he live with his girlfriend?
The only times they talk, it seems Mary's admonishing him, then saying she's so happy, and then dismissing him all in the same breath.
He's clearly, there's a reason why he didn't text you in almost 24 hours.
Yeah, because you're so wishy-washy.
And like emotionally volatile.
Yeah.
I just have to say that all I want right now is to get a facial at Heather's Beauty Lab.
I know, right? That looks so relaxing.
I want to be wrapped in a cozy little blanket with like my skin, the wool being pulled over my skin, and then like little bobbles in my eyes.
I was really jealous of Whitney's facial. I want like a warm towel wrapped around my face and then someone just like doing treatments and like face tickling me to oblivion.
I want a facial so bad. I haven't had one in like almost a year at this point.
Yeah, I think it's been...
I had one. No, I had one. I think I had one before our show in March.
I'm trying to remember when I had one. But it's been so long. Like, I would love just the touch of a facial professional or a masseuse, even.
Yeah, I just love...
Like, an indulgent self-care moment at the hands of another would be incredible.
Relinquishing control, and when they are like, is this hurting you? When they're extracting, I'm like, no, go further.
Get it all the fuck out of there.
Yes, yes, but keep going. And when they zap and I smell the ozone. And then my esthetician at the place I go to Face House, which is like turbo facials.
Oh yeah.
And they at the end they rub your shoulders, they rub your face a little and your temp and like your scalp, and then they like break some like peppermint thing over you and they have you breathe in and breathe out, and it's just like, and then you leave just feeling like jello, and it's amazing.
Oh my god, that sounds so relaxing.
And like Solange is playing and you're just like, oh my god,
I'm really in a place of facial right now with you just describing that to me.
I know.
It's sad. I tell you what actually has slightly made up for the lack of like professional touch? Yeah. Is I found this like neck massager on Amazon that you can like hold, you like it wraps around your neck kind of like a scarf, and it has two handles on either side, like cloth that you can hold, and it is gives you the sensation of someone giving you a neck and shoulder rub, and it has solved a lot of problems for me.
Holy shit.
And they're on Amazon. They used to be kind of expensive. Like, I think I bought mine when they were like $79. But now I think they're selling so many. They're like $35 or something. I cannot recommend it enough. Like, it feels like heaven. Like, today I kind of have a crick in my neck. And I can't wait to get that massager hooked up. And you can, the one I got, you can plug it into your car too. Oh. Like, it has an AC adapter. So, like, when I was on a road trip earlier this year, like after I would do my driving time, I'd switch with my sister and then I would just like massage the fuck out of my neck and shoulders, like in the passenger seat. Holy
shit, I'm going to get that like today.
It is it is a godsend.
Holy shit. Wow.
And it feels like you're getting a neck and it feels, and it gets hot and kneads in there and you can adjust it and like get just all into your back and neck. Oh.
I got my mouth massaged.
I want a mouth massage so bad, like a jaw, like that. No, do they go inside and go?
Yeah, like TMJ. Like she went in, like to your like cheek, like inside of your cheek, and just like, it was so weird. I don't know if it helped me that much, but it did. It felt a release like immediately after. It didn't, I don't know how long it lasted, but like it was very strange. But like, she was like, can I stick my fingers in your mouth? And I was like, yeah, go ahead.
I'm ready to, like, once we're out of the clear with like COVID, or once we're in the clear, I'm ready to have someone just like, I mean, you and I talked about getting colonics. Like, I'm like, stick anything in anywhere. Like, put your fucking hands in my mouth, stick a colonic thing up my ass. Like, I don't give
literally
a shit.
I'll be, yeah, I'm ready to be like a fucking like cow.
I'm like, spit in my eyeball, rub it around, like, do whatever you need to do to make me feel relaxed. Like, please have
Same.
At it. Yeah.
Do it all. I'm ready. I'm ready for it all. I had a dream last night that I was at, like, I think I was at some kind of spa / like beauty place.
Yeah.
Or I was at some, there was some kind of eucalyptus thing going on. It was good.
That's so nice.
And then I had a dream that was like vaguely DB Cooper. It was weird.
What was it?
It was like I was watching a movie about like a plane that got hijacked, and then like people stole like money off the plane, but the plane was full of like students. It was weird. But it was like
weird.
It was like eventful. So
Heather and Whitney talk, and Heather basically just laments the fact that she's living under the Mormon culture thumb. And she feels like she has to make a decision whether or not to like break from the church and like live, laugh, fuck, and drink a little bit, or just be like a shamed Mormon ex-wife forever.
Yeah, she goes on and on. And I love when they do like a fun editing thing that you just see Whitney sort of like disassociate as Heather kind of goes on about her self-loathing, which was kind of fun. I'm into Whitney's pep talks.
Yeah, she gives a good pep talk. She keeps it really real while also caring.
She's like, this is why I hate our background. She's like, it's oppressed us. It's made us doubt ourselves as women and like coming second to men. Like, she's really like candid about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fucked up double standard. Like, okay, Heather's husband can divorce her, but he still gets to be like a big dick at the Mormon church, and then she's just this like sad, shameful wife. That's fucked up. Fuck him.
We cut to Jen at her home. And Jen is, it's basically like goes into her being about her depression, and
yeah,
her fourth assistant brings her like Wellbutrin or whatever.
Tiana. Jen is a medicated queen. She went through a dark period after her dad died and then raged on everyone. And her husband was like, I'm going to leave your ass. And then her sons were like, please get help. And then she did. And now she's feeling a little better.
Does Sharif have like another life?
Like a second life?
What's going on?
I guess he's just doing this football team thing. I think that takes up a shitload of your time. Like, football is life for people
that
work in football.
I'm just like, I want to know, do they own several businesses? Do they own real estate? Like, Jen has like a team of people. Like, that's a lot of money to be paying people.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she's like Sonya and like gaslights them into working for her for free.
I think it kind of might be Sonya-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to know where the money comes from. Was he a professional football player for a while?
No.
Oh.
Is this like a late in life? Is he just like family rich and this is like a late in life like hobby? Not late in life, middle-aged hobby thing that he's doing? Like, I just want to know.
You can make a lot of money as a college football coach.
Yeah, but like the lifestyle she leads and the daily upkeep of Jen is, that's a lot of money if she is paying. Like, she has like six assistants.
Yeah.
So unless they're just like bored and like, I'm she's exciting and I want to be part of this like crazy woman's life. But like, and do it for free. But like, Stuart, does he get, he must have a fat paycheck because he literally does everything for her. And that other woman, her second assistant, like, I'm just curious and I'm not, I'm wondering if he, well, I think someone, didn't we say that someone said he was a lawyer at one point?
Sharif was a lawyer.
Like, he was some kind of attorney. So maybe he has like attorney money and this is like just a second lease on life job that he's doing.
Maybe. I don't really know, but it is confusing. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, and I would like to know more about their finances.
Does Jen have family money? Does she have a trust fund? Was her father like some super wealthy guy or her mom? Like, what's going on? I'd like to know if anyone has details. Is it all a mirage? Is it a perfect illusion?
Maybe Jen is renting the runway.
Yeah. I'm very confused, but I like watching it.
We'll get to the bottom of it. Readers, message us, sexuniquepodcast@gmail.com, and let us know what the fuck is up with them.
Lisa's a little MIA, I think because of Sundance, but like, we're not getting really any of Lisa. Less Brooks, more Lisa. That's all I have to say.
What we did get of Lisa this episode, I was extremely into.
Lisa's son, her youngest son, is wearing a Balmain shirt.
I know. Lisa holds a boardroom gathering with her family and then like tells them all to set goals for the year ahead.
I wanted to sit on her husband's lap.
Mm-hmm. I think you and her husband, like, you could keep him company while Lisa's away. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be good for him and you.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. And Lisa, like, I'm obsessed with... Everyone else kind of says like her like, little let's set cute intentions. Son.
Yeah, yeah,
let's set intentions and goals for the year. And her dad's like, I want to coach like Henry's football team again and like spend more time with the kids and you and be patient. And Henry's like, I want to have a kiss by the time I'm 15 and blah, blah, blah. And then Lisa's like, okay, I want to expand my business in the new year. And I think that these are the expansions in the sectors that we could make together. And I love like her, like she took this as this was a business meeting for Lisa.
Also, Lisa's older son, I'm guessing is like 16. He has the face of an 8-year-old and like his voice is like deeper than mine. I'm like, it's like very deep fake, like uncanny. I'm like, what am I looking at?
Yeah, he looks so youthful.
He looks like a boy, but he has a deep, like he's gone through puberty, clearly, because his voice is deep.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want to even talk about like...
They grow up so fast.
Puberty, but like, I'm just like, it almost feels like it's like a cartoon or he's super...
Like he's been dubbed. Yeah. Someone has dubbed his voice.
He's like, yeah, I want to like... hit it big with the ladies. And he looks like he's like from the movie Finding Neverland with Johnny Depp and Kate Winslet.
Yeah, he looks like a child. Disconcerting.
Very strange.
I love it. This is where we can expand our business in these sectors. Yeah. And I want to have a $1 billion brand.
Yeah. And she will.
I believe in her. And like, then I was really team Lisa after this. Like, John, is that her husband's name?
Yeah, I think so.
He comes into the bedroom and he's like trying to talk to her and she's just texting. And he's trying to be like, maybe we can spend less time on our phone. She's like, hold on, I have to send this one text, okay? And then she's like, what is it? How can I help you? And he's like, maybe you will learn to say no a little bit more. And she's like, I don't think I need to say no to things that are what I need to be doing.
Oh my God, your voice is so good.
That resonate with me. No, Lisa speaks to like the Lisa within and she's ignited like the $1 billion businesswoman.
I love it.
And I don't want Lisa to say no. I want Lisa to work. Like she clearly has a calling. It's like,
yeah,
fucking figure it out.
Seriously. Some,
like, she's a worker. That's what she's going to do. Why don't you raise the kids?
Be a worker. Look for the helpers.
Yeah. But I guess that, like, what's the deal in Mormonism? Like, can you be a stay-at-home dad? Can the wife take a big role?
I don't know. It might be looked down upon if you're the dad is like not the breadwinner. But I think he likes it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't you think he likes it?
I can't tell if he does, and then he just kind of plays up the, like, oh, Lisa's so busy for the cameras, or if he's, like, terrified of her.
Totally.
I think he's, like, a little bit terrified of her.
Yeah. I'd be scared
of her. I think no one in Lisa's family, like, understands Lisa.
No, she's kind of in a... Well, she's, like, New York. I think she's a little... She still has that, like, New York sensibility of, like, that Northeast, like... And
yeah.
I think it's... Even though she's, like, very much flung herself into the Mormon Utah lifestyle, she still can't shake that, like, city that never sleeps hustle bustle. And I think it's
she's
a lot for her husband. And I think that's why he's
into
it. Sex in
the city at heart. Yeah.
I think that's why he's so into her, because she's so, like, alien to him.
She's a big city broad.
And she's a woman
in a small
amongst,
town.
She's a lady amongst a bunch of fellows.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And she's ready to expand into different sectors.
That's like, I'm imagining my mom doing that to me and my sister and my dad when we're younger. I'm ready to expand into different sectors.
Here's where I'm thinking we can take the business next year and expand into different sectors. You're like, I just wanted to like play softball. Like maybe you'd come to some softball games. No.
And then COVID came in and was like, sorry, Lisa.
Yeah, I want to see how Lisa's doing with COVID.
The only sectors you'll be expanding to are to the living room.
Well, maybe her alcohol business boomed during COVID.
Probably did.
Though I have not heard of it.
Yeah, the event sector took a dip, but we expanded into a virtual space. But our alcohol sales are through the roof. I guess
alcohol's through the roof.
Pandemic can't stop the liquor flow. And then, yeah. So then we go over to a, like, Marriott hotel-ass-looking restaurant. And Meredith...
Love Toscano. It's like a higher-end Olive Garden.
Totally. Is that a thing?
I think Toscano is, like, a chain restaurant. Oh. I think so. But it looks good to me. I was ready to go.
No, I was ready for it. I'm a macaroni.
Yeah, there's Toscano... There's one in... Oh, no, there's Toscana.
I'm a macaroni grill head myself, so I'm all about, like, upper chain, like, a little bit nicer chain Italian restaurants. Love it.
Yeah.
Live it. Love the smell.
Toscano.
We're still going to Buca di Beppo.
I'm throwing a fucking... We're going to throw a rager at Buca di Beppo.
Yeah.
We are like, there will be a beautiful dinner, a banquet, if you will, in the Dorit room at Buca.
Did
I would
tell
love
you
to do
about...
like a surprise party for you where I've arranged for everyone to get vaccinated at Buca di Beppo.
Did I tell you about my Buca di Beppo venture? Did I tell you about my Buca di Beppo intro?
One of the hugest trolls, I think, of 2020, like adding it to my list of grievances, is that Dorit's Buca di Beppo venture was introduced and completed, and we couldn't go see it for ourselves.
The Capri room.
That's one of the things I was like dying to do this year.
Did I tell you about my Buca di Beppo venture? Did I tell you about...
Sorry, I'll keep doing it.
It's so good.
Did I tell you about my Buca di Beppo venture?
So they're meeting for a little, like, post-Utah Fashion 30 dinner.
They need to download on all the events that they've all been through.
I love seeing, like, the winter sky in the background and, like, the mountains at sunset. It looks really beautiful.
Yeah, there was a really good intro after one of the commercial breaks where the lights of the city, it was like doot, 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 doot. And it was like different lights each time. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. It really made me feel like I understood the glamorous lights of Salt Lake City.
Meredith and her incredible eyebrows they come late. Meredith's wearing like this leather trench kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit down and basically the convo sort of goes into like discussing Meredith and Seth's separation, and Jen and Heather are like not buying it, kind of. They're like, what's actually going on?
Yeah. And
Meredith is like,
what's
very,
the deal?
Very much being cagey, and she's continuing to be like, we are trying to rediscover our love for each other, and
blah,
they're like,
blah,
so,
blah.
And Heather's like, so are you like gonna get your fuck on like I did with Curtis last week? Like, what's the deal? Are you gonna fuck people? And Meredith's like, no, I shan't.
No, I can't do that.
And I went
and just like shakes her head. But she's being so vague about like even there. When you can't say like a definitive reason that you're getting divorced from someone, you know it's like deeper than it seems.
Totally. And they're, I mean, like, they're not being
even,
like,
you can't even give like a specific like, oh, he wants to be here and I want to be here. Like, we disagree about school or like any sort of thing. She's just like vague, like, we really have to learn how to communicate better. And it's like, okay, but
yeah. They're not buying it. They're not being like mean, but they're kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Spill the beans, bitch.
And then we cut to where I also want to be right now is a trampoline park.
Ooh, yeah.
Whitney and Diane Warren head to the trampoline park with her girls, her dad. And it just looked really satisfying.
Yeah. Whitney and I have the same yoga pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yoga pant twins.
I love that.
Shout out Aloe Yoga. And she does a flip that I was certain would end in her becoming a paraplegic. Like, I was like, she will not survive this flip. But then she did, and I was impressed, to say the least.
Trampolines they're amazing, but they're terrifying. And, like, you will, like, there is a 40% chance that you're going to break your neck.
You're asking for a broken neck.
I want to go on one of those trampolines that you have like the cords on either side of your hips.
Oh, like, I'll bounce like,
yeah, and you
crazy
can do flips
up.
but those are safe, and like you're not gonna like fly off and hit your neck.
Those are like, you have to go to like a state fair to get on those.
Yeah. Or they
have
them
to head
at, like,
to the fairgrounds.
Have to head to the county fair, but they have them at like gymnast gyms.
Oh, damn. Yeah, another thing 2020 has taken from us. Add it to the fucking list. No massages, yep. No Capri room, no facials, no trampolines.
Yeah, except for
no trampoline rooms.
Jonathan Van Ness, apparently, who's...
What's he doing? Bouncing around in that Uber commercial?
Yeah, he's like a gymnast now. And then he's like, my hip, I can't do this that much. And I was like, all right, fair. And then he and Whitney have a little side convo, and he's like, my therapist says I'm ready to basically like start my life and live alone. And Whitney's face just like totally drops, and she's like, what? Because he's only been in rehab for 21 days.
Yeah, and his sober living program is supposed to be 90 days.
And I was like, who the fuck is this quack therapist that you're going to?
Yeah, also, like, that seems like a lie. I was like, you're lying. Like, I don't want to be, like, untrusting, but I'm also but like, this is your pattern trusting. Over and over. Yeah, it seems like this is what he does, and I just don't want it to happen for them again. Like, just he's stay like, for the 90 days. Just make the commitment and do it.
He's like, I want to start making money again, get my life. And Whitney's like, kind of like, Dad, like, no. And I was just like, you can just smell the recovery bullshit.
The excuses. Yeah. The excuses that start coming out and the reasons to like
relapse.
And it's like, yeah. And what's sad is like, you can tell that he thinks that he's making good points to her. Like, and I guess in a lot of ways, those are valid points. Like, I'm sure you do want to make money again and get your life back together, blah, blah, blah. But it's almost like when you hear those, like, it just sounds, it's like you can tell you're being bullshitted, but that person doesn't think that they're bullshitting you. And no. So then it becomes like, it's so frustrating because you're like, you think that I'm buying into what you're saying, or you're like, you're selling me this thing, and like, the jig is up.
Yeah, I think when you're an addict and you have done this a few times, like, your loved ones and the people that have been through it with you, like, you think, and this is, I've been in this position before, like, you think you're pulling one on them and they're like, no, I don't, like, I know what you're doing. Like, you, it's so funny, like, when you're in addiction, which he still is in addiction, like,
yeah,
he's still really, like, when you're in active addiction, like, the things you will say and the confidence of which you believe that you're fooling people is, like, so high, and your actual turnover rate is so low because no one
you're
is buying.
You're fooling no one.
Except yourself.
Yeah. And it's sad to see, but it is just, it's very cliche, like, across, like, many addicts, like, that I've known and interacted with, like, it's that same thing where they're just, like, selling you. you're like, how do you think that I'm gonna fucking believe this, what you're saying right now?
When you're an addict, like, at certain points, you're like a shitty car salesman on, like, mm-hmm. the used car sales lot, and you're just like, hey, like, snake oil, like, oh, and you're just, like, pulling out, and no, and, like, you think that you're like, hey.
And it's, you're wheeling and dealing to literally dealing the air. Yeah. And, to, like, no one's buying what you're selling.
And it's sad because, like, just going through it myself and knowing other people, it's been like, you know that he's setting himself up to relapse, which is what he's doing. Like, he's setting the, and I don't know if he's sober now, but, like, the relapse sometimes starts before you even take the drink or drug. And you start, like, almost,
you undermine it and you plan it kind of mentally. You're getting into, like, a place of, like, relapse before.
And it's almost unconscious. And, like, you don't even, it's like your disease sort of hijacks you and is saying everything for you. It's really wild. But Whitney doesn't buy it. And she's kind of like, Dad, like, no, like, you're going to, I don't want you to fail again. Like, you're doing, you went back. Why don't you just finish the program and we can talk about this?
Yeah.
And he's pretty adamant.
I really felt for her because it's just like,
it's exhausting.
Yeah. You always hope that it's like it's going to be the last time and, like, it really will stick and things are going to change. And then mm-hmm. that pattern repeats itself. And it's just like that cycle of being, like, so hopeful only to have it just, like, fall apart is just intense.
But then we head on over to a really wholesome parent-child interaction, and Heather has a little powwow with her three girls who are all so adorable, and she is just, like, really proud of all them, and mm-hmm. she kind of maybe spills a little too much, like, I think she kind of saddles them a little with too much of, like, her, what she's going through. They're a little, that's what I think they're a little young to be.
The youngest one, the little redhead, looked kind of shell-shocked. Like, she was like, yeah. No, she wasn't ready.
But it's coming from a good place. And
yeah. And can I just say, Stormy the cat is a beaut.
They're all, it's a beautiful house.
Yeah, beautiful. I love their family. And I love her daughters, and it made me want three daughters that I could tell my Mormon journey to.
She's basically just like, you three are, like, the greatest gifts. I would love that for you, by the way. You'd be a good daughter mom.
I love it, just, like, daughters and, like, sitting in, like, your daughter's rooms, and you have, like, your cat, and it's just, like, a house of girls. Like, that feels very, yeah, witchy and safe to me. And I like single mom with just daughters and just like a lot of feminine energy.
Yeah.
And a cat, a bitchy little cat named Stormy.
She starts getting emotional and she's just like, she's basically just like, I know that we've been through a lot, like with the divorce, and they've basically been shunned by people. And she's just kind of checking in with the girls, basically.
Yeah. And they say that they're proud of her. And basically, Heather wants to kind of defect from the church somewhat. Yeah. And like, get dick down and not feel bad about it. And hey, who can fault her for that?
And they're totally on board.
Yeah.
They all hug her and it's really cute. And they're just so, they're all like really mature and like, mom, you got to do what you have to. Like, they have a lot of emotional fortitude for being so young.
Sweeties.
Little sweeties.
We cut to Whitney's gym, home gym with the pole, and Jen has come over to work out with her. And I love it because Whitney is like, when Whitney asks you if you want to work out, like Whitney's gonna work out. It's not like, oh, do you want to work out? But then we just both dress in like fabulous clothes and talk. It's like, I want to exercise. And Jen is like clearly not ready to work out.
No, Jen's She wants to gab. Whitney's like, I've owned a pole in every home I've ever been in. So I was like, all right.
I love it. And Whitney's a pole dancer extraordinaire and tries to teach Jen some moves. And Jen actually does really well for a first timer. Did better than I could do.
Good core. She's got, she's a natural.
When Whitney's like, put your arm up on the pole as high as it can go and then like swing with your leg, I was like, my shoulder would dislocate. Like,
me too. But I wouldn't try
could it. Not. Yeah. It made me want to pole dance, but I was also just like, my body is not ready.
No. It's a lot. I couldn't even. But Jen takes to it. She's game. I respected her. They start gabbing. They, again, like we mentioned before, Whitney discloses that she and her husband, like, bang 4 to 5 times a week.
She's like, I had to get my little Mormon boy out of the closet. And I was like, bleh.
Gross. But then when she says that, the look on Jen's face, Jen's just like, Jen almost looks like bamboo. She's like, oh my God. And she goes, that's normal. And I was like, normal? That's fucking supernatural. Jen doesn't,
yeah. She doesn't answer how often she gets laid.
Because we know it's not a lot.
Yeah.
Which is not like, I'm not saying that's like, I'm just saying the look on her face, she was like, oh.
She was hoping Whitney would say like once every couple weeks or maybe, like we try for like 2 times a week, but really we get it like once a week or maybe every other week. No, Whitney's like, I get dicked down 4 to 5 times a week. She's like about,
they're so hot for anywhere. Each other.
They're so hot for each other. And I like, I love that for them. May we all be so hot, be like the kind of hot where both people are just hot for each other and you're having sex as often with your partner as you want to have.
After 10 years.
After 10 years and you're still fucking on the reg, that's an accomplishment. Jen is the fucking Edward Snowden of Salt Lake City. She whistle blew the fuck out of Meredith and her side piece.
She blew up Meredith's spot. She's like, well, she goes, you know, people might know what's happening, really. And then Whitney looks at her and she's like, what are you trying to say, Jen? And Jen's like, I don't know. I think there's information that I'm sure people know. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my God.
Just here we go.
It. At this point, just fucking say it. So
she
discloses that she and Meredith were in New York together.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at some hotel after some party or whatever, or fashion week, I don't know. And she met some guy that was telling proudly telling people that Meredith was the love of his life. And that they were like very much, they seemed coupley, and he walked her to her room later.
And he said he wanted to marry her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Meredith like fully has a boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, this is all according to Jen. So
according to Jen, and then there are she showed some pictures of them from that weekend where her face was basically like face-tuned to Hades and back.
I would love to see Jen in New York. She would only go to like Beauty in Essex and like the Standard and
Jen takes places. Manhattan.
She does.
A spinoff.
But that's like then I was like, this season just got good. Because now this is gonna be explosive and Meredith is gonna because they're already on shaky ground, the two of them.
And that's probably why Jen wants to hang out, is because they have this secret together, and why Jen feels really close to her, and why Meredith is brushing her off so much is because she doesn't want the secret revealed on camera. She doesn't want to talk about it. But Jen Shaw ain't going to have it.
No. So she just solidified herself for season two.
Yeah. And we love to see it. You can't have secrets on these shows. Sorry.
I was like a little like, ooh, and then I was just like, no, this is like exactly the explosive info that we need.
Mm-hmm. We earned this.
And then that's it for this episode. But it was a good episode.
Yeah, I was feeling it. I'm like, I hope we get more Mary, chaotic Mary next episode.
Yes.
I want an explosive fight between Meredith and Jen.
Oh, yeah. And I want Brooks to maybe get involved.
Oh, you know Brooks is going to get involved. I love Jen. Also, Meredith, where are you going to go next? What's next for you, Brooks? And him, like, what's next for him is hopefully being on this show and being, like, the villain of this show.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to do it, let's do the damn thing.
Just have him on. Have him be a full-time housewife.
Just have him. It's fine. We need a gay housewife. It might as well be Brooks.
He might be the first one.
Yeah. And guess what? We'll take what we're given.
We'll take what we... It's like, it's kind of like Mayor Pete. It's like, okay.
Fine. If it has to be that, he has to blaze the way so that we can get to what we really want, then so be it.
But it was good. I'm pleased, most pleased walking away from this episode.
Anytime there's like a fashion week or a fashion show, it always like soothes me.
And there's drama. There's always drama. Like when Kelly and Bethany were at the fashion show, like there's always some shit going down.
Yeah. And like Orange County Fashion Week when it took place on a boat.
Hopefully that boat sank.
That cursed boat. The Titanic of Fashion Weeks. Well, Merry Christmas, Carrie.
Merry Christmas, Lars. Love and light to you always.
Love and light.
You are a gift as a friend, and I'm so grateful to have you in my life and to be creative, lolling with you every multiple days a week.
Every day is a blessing when we get to pod together and just know each other.
And totally. And interacting with all of y'all.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners. You make this podcast. You're the reason for the season.
You're the reason for the season. Ah! And the daisy. You can follow Lara at Lars Marie.
Yeah, follow Carrie at eCario. You won't regret it. Thanks. Sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. Bonus episodes drop every Saturday.
You won't regret following either of us.
No, it's actually a great follow.
Yeah, I can say that with confidence. So
yeah, absolutely. I have absolute confidence in a zero regret policy.
Agreed. And everyone just have a merry, safe, merry Christmas. And please, please be safe. And don't go to any parties right now. Try not to.
Yeah, just be fucking chill.
Just be chill. And don't be a super spreader. And we're going to get through this time, guys.
Yeah, stay strong. Don't get COVID. And we'll see you next week.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.